Cairns, Tuesday, the 21st of August, 2013. The thing that surprised Scarlett the most when she thought about it later was that at first her Tuesday night shift at the Palmlands Motel was no different from any other night she'd worked. There'd been no warning, no suggestion of what was going to happen, no omens. Scarlett worked Tuesdays and Thursdays at Palmlands from 5 to 10. She'd had the job for 6 months now. The hours were good, the pay was good for a nearly 17-year-old, and Jan gave her a free dinner too. Sitting in reception, checking people in, handing out keys, answering the phone, it wasn't hard, and she met some nice people. Plus, it was going to look great on her CV. After nine, it was often so quiet that she could do her homework or play on her iPad. And her mum didn't mind picking her up and letting her drive home if she wasn't working a night shift herself. Scarlett was saving for her own car for when she got her P plates, but her mum might change her mind about Scarlett working at Palmlands now, even if it turned out not to be murder. Only one room, number 20, in the far corner of the top floor of the small motel, was vacant when, soon after 9 o'clock, a car pulled into the driveway in front of reception. Scarlett was sitting at the desk with her headphones on, watching Gangnam Style on YouTube, and jiggling along with Psy as he galloped around the screen on her iPad. "Op, op, op, oppa," sang Scarlett. The video was on its way to scoring a billion hits, and Scarlett was responsible for a good number of them. Scarlett's second major life plan after buying her car was to spend a gap year teaching English in South Korea. Seoul must be the coolest place on the planet. As the car came to a stop, she hastily pulled off the headphones and closed the iPad. A youngish couple with a tired-looking cross toddler got out. A baby was asleep in a capsule on the back seat. "We saw your vacancy sign," said the man. "We're looking for a room for 3 or 4 nights. "No problem," Scarlett answered. "Welcome to Cairns. We have a Tuesday night special. Top floor, kind of a view to the mountains in the morning, queen-size bed. Would you like a cot for the little boy? There's no extra charge." "Yes, please," said the man, producing his credit card. "Joe," he said to his partner, "do you want to get Tom's things and go straight up to settle him? I'll bring the rest up in a moment. Isabel's sound asleep there. She can stay in the car till we're sorted out. Then I can bring her up." "If you'll just sign here," Scarlett said to him, "I'll get the cot and take it up. It's not heavy. It's one of those folding ones." She switched the voice onto voicemail. Jan was very particular about that. Found the cot and followed Joe and the little boy across the courtyard and up the stairs. "Have you had a long journey today?" she asked Joe. "All the way from Rocky," was the reply. "We've got family there. We're thinking of moving north ourselves from Melbourne. We're just looking around here. Luke, that's my partner, he's going to see if he can find work in the mines somewhere. Out of Mackay, maybe." She picked up Tom as she climbed the stairs. He was half asleep, and his mother was looking back at Scarlett as she spoke. Scarlett had both arms around the cot. They reached the landing. "It's just down there to the right," Scarlett said, "number 20. It's away from the road, so it should be quiet for you." That was when Joe screamed. Screamed and almost dropped Tom. But his protests were drowned in the chaos that followed as doors opened up and down the corridor and guests cautiously peered out. Which was when Scarlett saw that from under the door of room 19 and onto the white tiles of the motel's corridor flowed a river of blood.